Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with world events and keeps you in the know, as I like to say. All right, let's begin. So, SpaceX lands Starship prototype for the first time, and then it blows up. SpaceX's latest Starship prototype landed on Wednesday for the first time after carrying out a high-altitude test flight in Texas, but exploded minutes later on its landing pad. The launch test's main objective was to demonstrate the computer-controlled movements of the rocket's four aerodynamic flaps that steer its descent before landing, SpaceX engineer and livestream host John Innsbrucker said during the company's broadcast. At the end of the climb to 6.2 miles, each of the rocket's three Raptor engines gradually shut down to prepare for a brief free fall back to land, reorienting itself horizontally with its belly facing the ground. And then came the belly flop maneuver. The rocket's three engines reignited to swoop itself into a vertical position for landing. So the SN10 actually slowly descended on the landing pad. It touched down, but it was leaning slightly to one side. It was, in fact, declared a success on the live feed. Shortly after landing, in fact, the SpaceX feed had already been shut. And it was a NASA stream that kept the cameras rolling and captured the moments when it exploded after a successful landing. So they've nailed the landing. Now they just have to work on not blowing up shortly after. Right, let's see what else is up. Virgin Galactic delays space tourism flights to early 2022. So their hopes for space tourism in 2021 were looking dim after a motor ignition failure in December last year. That pushed back its test flight schedule. And now the company is ditching any hopes of meeting that target. So Virgin used its latest earnings to delay space tourism flights to 2022. During the call, the company CEO said that the next rocket powered test flight now wouldn't occur until May, roughly half a year after the original attempt. Tourist trips just weren't going to happen in 2021 with the updated timetable. So they expect that subsequent test flights to take place in the summer, including one with four people in the cabin, as well as Sir Richard Branson's long-expected ride. So I think, generally speaking, I am really, really interested in space tourism because this is something that has been pending for millennia. This was not even, I don't even think that this was a valid dream for people to have up until a couple of centuries ago, where this just became, you know, it was only in the late 1900s that we were able to launch successful rockets frequently and stuff like that, especially booming with the space age. But, we took a back seat after the Cold War, and most of these attempts to do space stuff were based on wars and on information. And this was Cold War technology, more or less. And then once the Cold War ended, the exploration of space near and far also kind of ended. I'm really happy that this has been jump-started back again, and especially space tourism. This has just been a long time coming. I'm going to be on one of those flights, I promise you. I really hope that this stuff actually happens and it's not just a pipe dream that a bunch of rich people are having. All right, let's see. Great apes have received COVID-19 vaccine at the San Diego Zoo. Several great apes at the San Diego Zoo received two doses each of a COVID-19 vaccine in February, National Geographic reports. The lucky recipients are four orangutans and five bonobos who were distracted with treats as they got their shots. One of the orangutans is Karen, the first ape to undergo open-heart surgery in 1994. Well, a little sad, the naming there, but ape vaccination is a welcome development at San Diego Zoo, where a troop of eight gorillas tested positive for COVID-19 in January. The sick gorillas were symptomatic but have now recovered, according to the zoo. They'll likely join their orangutan and bonobo compatriots in vaccination later in the spring. The vaccine the apes received is not one of the vaccines that have been authorized for humans. It was developed by a veterinary pharmaceutical company after the first recorded case of COVID-19 in a dog in February 2020. So in addition to dogs, gorillas, minks, domestic cats, big cats have also been infected by the virus. So yeah, there you go if you thought that the coronavirus is a largely human phenomenon. And of course, it originated in animals and makes sense that it affects animals as well. All right, let's see what else is up. Here's an interesting GIF that I've seen. It's basically a new AI It's called Deep Nostalgia, and it's something that animates old photos, and it can add like a small amount of movement where the eyes move and stuff like that. And the GIF I'm seeing is basically a lady. I think the photo looks like it's been taken in the 20s or the 30s, so 1920s, 1930s, stuff like that. It's just a grayscale black and white photograph, and it appears to have been animated into, you know, some movement. So the face is moving, the eyes are moving, the lips are moving a little bit, and it seems realistic. Let's see what the article says. An AI-powered surface called Deep Nostalgia that animates still photos has become the main character on Twitter this fine Sunday, as people try to recreate the creepiest fake video possible, apparently. It's offered by online genealogy company MyHeritage, and it uses AI license from DID to create the effect that a still photo is moving. It's kind of like the iOS Live Photos feature, which adds a few seconds of video to help smartphone photographers find the best shot. But Deep Nostalgia can take photos from any camera and then bring them to life. The program uses pre-recorded driver videos of facial movements and applies the ones that work best for the still photo in question. Its intended purpose is to allow you to upload photos of deceased loved ones and see them in action, which seems like a lovely idea. Does it though? Okay, I have a quote here. It makes me so happy to see him smile again. End quote. Try our new Deep Nostalgia photo animation feature for yourself and prepare to be amazed. So in theory, I think this is a really good idea. But I am still kind of wary about how these new technologies are going to pan up in the future. We had this case also a couple of months ago. I think it was almost a year that you had these apps where you upload your photograph and then it gives you an aged version of what the person in that photograph is going to look like. And it's just, I mean, I know it's incredibly funny. It's hilarious to see stuff like this. And, you know, but I had my photographs then processed into like these age expanded versions. And then my friend sent it to me without my authorization. So, I mean, I get that it's funny, it's interesting, and all of that. It's totally reasonable. I'm 100% on board. But the part that I'm not on board is the questionable user data policies, because that stuff is real. Your photographs are going somewhere. And anytime technologies like these are developed, there is often a very good reason why they are developed. And, you know, it's I think it's insane to not question that sort of stuff. So, but this organization seems like it has stuff to do with DNA heritage and stuff like that. So, slightly reasonable explanation there. I think the previous one, the one that I was talking about with the age related stuff, a lot of that data was in Russia. I'm not sure if they're regulated by the same laws, like for instance, in the EU, for instance. I just said, for instance, way too many times there. All right, let's see what else is going on. Netflix Fast Laughs is a TikTok-style comedy feed for your phone. Sometimes all you want from Netflix is a good laugh. The service's latest mobile feature is designed to do just that. Fast Laughs is a TikTok-style feed of clips from stand-up specials as well as comedy shows and movies. It even has an LOL button for you to react to clips. It adds the face with tears of joy emoji, which, sorry to inform you, is no longer cool, to your screen. All right, well, I mean, I think this is a new space that is definitely worth exploring from Netflix perspective. I mean, after all, they own the rights to so many new stand-up specials. That's one of the really cool things about Netflix. Its ability to bring comedy a little more mainstream. A lot of people have received stand-up specials, and they're really fucking hilarious. I mean, very recently, Dave Chappelle's shows are now, you know, finally on Netflix. There's just been dispute after dispute, but I'm so glad that it worked out. And in general, there are just so many comedians who are getting opportunities to be on Netflix. And I mean, it's great for their career. But at the same time, Netflix now has all of this content. So why not use it? It sounds totally reasonable, right? I'm still not 100% sure if a TikTok style comedy feed is what gets it going. But the market clearly says that, you know, it wants to consume this kind of content because TikTok was so popular. So it makes sense, in my opinion. Let's see. Ford has delayed thousands of Mustang Mach-E SUV deliveries. Interesting. Let's see what's going on here. Ford has finally shed some light on the scale of delays it's expecting in rolling out its first mass-market electric car, the Mustang Mach-E SUV. After the company announced on Wednesday that it shipped 3,739 Mustang Mach-Es in February, the first full month of deliveries, it told The Verge in a statement that some 4,500 customers will have to wait longer than expected to receive the electric SUV. The automaker didn't say specifically what's causing the delay, just that it's holding back the electric Mustangs, quote, as part of our commitment to deliver a quality vehicle to customers, end quote. To help make up for the delay, Ford is giving affected customers an extra 250 kilowatt hours of free charging at stations that are in the company's Ford Pass charging network. So the buyers of the Mustang Mach-E were already getting 250 kilowatt hours free as a promotion. And Ford also says it'll cover the first month's payment, up to $1,000 for approximately 250 customers experiencing extended delays receiving their Mustang Mach-Es. You know, electric cars in general, if this isn't the first episode you're listening, then you know that I'm 100% in favor of them. But it's this Mustang brand. I still have to see how this works out in the real world, because I am an old school Mustang fan. I like the relatively recent ones as well. One of my favorites is the 5-liter Mustang. I mean, I just don't know how it's going to pan out, having the Mustang as a brand that now only does like electric vehicles. But it is super interesting to find out. I mean, this is a super bold and risky move from their perspective. I mean, that tells you the scale of, you know, the automakers realizing that the future is no longer in petrol and gas, but instead it's in electric. In fact, I was having a discussion with a colleague on this. I work in the automobile industry, and we're generally interested in stuff that you know, that's going on, because ultimately it affects us as well. And we have split opinions about this. I think there is a new kind of diesel. I do another podcast, and I'm most probably going to invite him over to discuss this in length, my colleague. But in general, we had a discussion about how alternative diesels, artificially made diesel, for instance, could be another solution that is now being entirely overlooked as a result of just lobbies forcing governments to adopt, you know, electric vehicles as the norm rather than something that pollutes much less than petrol and diesel, for instance. So it's an interesting space for sure. Let's see. Facebook will start accepting political ads again on March 4th. That went well the last time. Facebook will lift off its ban on political ads, including those that touch on social issues, on 4th March, the company announced on Wednesday. Social media giant put the policy in place after polls for the 2020 presidential election closed on the night of November 3rd. At the time, Facebook said it put the ban in place to prevent misinformation and confusion. All right, well, it's now 5 months after, you know, that was put in place, that ban is ending. And Facebook is planning to start accepting new ads this morning. I am not 100% sure that this is going to work well. I mean, of course, Facebook wants that sweet political juice, but I don't think it's going to make the world a better place. I 100% doubt that. I think it's just a temporarily... I think now that everybody realized the power of Facebook to create something totally crazy and unexpected, for instance, in this case, the remarkable success of Donald Trump in the US and everybody and every other country, because, you know, that trend just trickles down to the rest of the world. I'm not 100% sure that stuff like that is not going to happen again. I mean, social media and politics getting in bed together, it's not a good idea. But we'll keep a pin on this and follow up. Another bit of interesting news. Scientists in Iceland say strong signs of volcanic eruption is imminent. All right, let's see. Scientists in Iceland have said that there are now strong signs that a volcanic eruption might be underway following several days of near constant seismic activity near Mount Kelja, about 20 miles south of the capital, Reykjavik. We're not saying we have signs that an eruption has begun, the Icelandic meteorological officer told local office media on Wednesday, but this looks like the type of activity we expect in the run-up to an eruption. Now, when there are massive eruptions in Iceland, that usually means air traffic is stopped as well. In this case, there's not that much air traffic in the first place, but of course it still pollutes the sky and, you know, lowers the air quality around that region for quite some time. But it's the way that it is, you know, nature telling us to go fuck ourselves every once in a while. We need that. All right, let's see. There's some news about the Tokyo Olympics. Tokyo Olympics will be closed to fans from abroad, hints games organizer. Situation is tough, says committee president. Japanese press report decision has been made. The new president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee has hinted that foreign fans will not be allowed at this summer's games amid reports in the Japanese press that a decision had already been made to exclude them. If the situation is tough and it would make the Japanese consumers concerned, that is a situation we need to avoid from the beginning, the committee president, Saiko Hashimoto, told reporters after online talks with the International Olympic Committee president, Thomas Bach. I think it's really sad for international sport fans, but it's the same. I mean, in multiple domains where events happen and lots of people attend, it's the same for heavy metal rock concerts, pop concerts. It's the same for sporting events, stuff like that. I mean, it's just now restricted to television, and the sound of cheering is going to be missing. All right, let's see what else is going on. Researchers create a swimming robot that can heal itself. As the world contemplates ways to deploy robots to help with hazardous tasks such as large-scale cleanups or search and rescue missions, scientists are also second-guessing how to fix machines if they come into harm's way. We've previously seen jelly-like polymers used to create robotic hands that can repair themselves after a violent infliction, and, quote, biological, end quote, androids made from stem cells that can regenerate and stitch back together when sliced. The latest breakthrough involves tiny microbots that can magnetically heal themselves on the fly after breaking apart without help from humans. Now, this has applications in a vast variety of fields, ranging from, I don't know, space exploration all the way to helping humans fight disease on a microscopic level. I'm really interested in this entire, you know, region of science. I don't know how it's going to pan out, to be honest, but let's keep a pin on this as well. I mean, I say that a lot today, but it's just so much interesting stuff is happening. In other news, NASA's Perseverance rover has sent stunning images from Mars. This has just been also, you know, a long time pending when we've almost never seen like amazing photographs from Mars. There have been missions in the past that have done somewhat of a good job, but now it's like proper cool imagery that is finally, you know, beaming from that planet to ours. All right, NASA's Perseverance rover landed on Mars at 2055 GMT on 18th February after almost 7 months traveling from Earth. Since then, it has sent back some amazing images from around its landing site, Jezero Crater, a 49-kilometer-wide impact depression just north of the red planet's equator. Here is a selection of the pictures sent back from the mission. Obviously, you can't see the pictures, but I'm reading this article from the BBC, and they have this assortment of photographs from NASA. It's just incredible. I'll try to describe what I'm looking at. So it looks no different than if the lighting was very weird on planet Earth and it's just some desert, dried off, crusty landmass. And there's rocks everywhere, there's sand. And some of the color images are, you know, of course, they have this red tint to them. And there are like these, almost, I'm tempted to say mountainscapes. But, you know, there are these little hills that are essentially the crater's rims. And it's several kilometers away because it's a pretty big impact. But it's just fascinating to look at. I implore you to check out these images because it's another world. If that isn't cool, I don't know what is. All right, our last interesting story for the day. Why Greenpeace is dropping huge boulders into the sea. All right, so fishing communities are not in favor of this, but let's get some details on what's happening. All right, a Greenpeace ship has been dropping huge boulders into the sea off Brighton this week to stop fishing boats from trawling the seabed. The action is part of a campaign to tighten restrictions on the most destructive forms of fishing in protected areas of UK waters. But leaders of the fishing community describe the action as dangerous, illegal, and irresponsible. All right, well, in this case, it's very hard to say who's in the right in this case. But yeah, I mean, it's just stuff that Greenpeace does is controversial, generally speaking, because it is so almost counterintuitive to conventional wisdom. But that doesn't mean they're wrong. All right, folks, that's all for today, and see you next time.